Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening to everyone. We thank you and appreciate you for taking time out on this Thursday's lineup of all of the new shows that will be coming on tonight. So we do so appreciate you allotting time for us to join you on tonight. We do appreciate you again for your endeavor to press forward to become knowledgeable about domestic violence. And we're going to open up with prayer, and then we're going to proceed further. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We ask, O Lord God, that you would just assist us, O Lord God, as we try to give truth and bring life to a subject matter that has been long covered up in the church, O Lord God. We pray now, God, that you would just begin to roll back, O Lord God, and begin to minister to those, O God, that we will become knowledgeable of how to assist others who are going through domestic violence in the church, O Lord God. And then, God, help those, O Lord God, who are a victim of abuse, O Lord God, to know that they are victorious through you, O Father. We thank you, O God, for your word, who said that you said, O Lord God, that we should bring justice to the orphans and that the oppressed, so that people can no longer terrify them, God. You said, O Lord God, that you are one who brings hope to the hopeless, a hope to those who are helpless, O Lord God. So we thank you, God, that surely you will listen to their cries and you will comfort them, O Lord God. So we just thank you now, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus, O Lord. And we just pray, O Lord God, that you will begin to let this reach out, O Lord God, to the pastors, O Lord God. Let it reach out, O Lord God, to those who are over women's ministries. Let it reach out, O Lord God, that we would want to become knowledgeable, O God, in order to be an assistance to those who are oppressed, that they may be set free in Jesus' name. We pray now, God, that you will help us, O God, that not only will we help the victim, but we will help the abuser, O Lord God. We will help that man or that woman, O Lord God, who's having problems controlling their temper, God. We pray now, God, that you will help us, O Lord God, that we will help that man or that woman who's abusing drugs, O Lord God, and because of abusing drugs and alcohol, O God, they find themselves, O Lord God, becoming violent, O Lord God. We pray it now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We thank you, God, and we usurp authority even now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. So, God, we bless you and we honor you the more. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so. And so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. On last week, we talked about some of the red flags that you can look for when you look into dating somebody, things that you can look for on the onset as to not get trapped into domestic violence. I'd like to even now just instill an indemnity clause to this because of the fact that we, especially as women, it is not our position to seek out men. That is not what God's divine order for dating is. In fact, dating should never be something that is found within the body of Christ. Of course, we know that many people do it, but I think that that is one of the problems that it, or one of the things that has caused a large problem in the body of Christ is that we're looking for a man, or we're looking for a bed partner, or we're looking for companionship, and instead we find something that we did not expect. Amen, somebody. And so as we begin to look at that, and we understand that the scripture tells us, you know, that a man, he who finds. Good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And instead, we've got women who are going on dating sites. We've got women who are seeking men out, you know. And if you look at any kind of dating things, yes, I am veering from my subject. If you look at any type of dating advice online or listen to anybody of secular nature, they will tell you that it's okay for a woman to pursue a man. It's okay. But there is an order. There is a divine order that God has already implemented through his word that we need to follow when we're talking about dating. That being said, if we do it God's way, it perhaps would eliminate a whole lot of problems. Or it will. I don't even have to say perhaps. It will eliminate a whole lot of problems. But if you didn't do it God's way, and you may be like myself, you found yourself in a domestic violence situation, we are here to assist you, to give you some biblical insight to help you to understand what it is that you can do in order to keep yourself safe, in order to keep your children safe. I just want to say also that domestic violence is not limited to intimate relationships. It's not limited to a male and a female, or it's not limited to that type of thing. But domestic violence, of course, stretches out beyond that. We've been reading in the paper recently of how a man just recently called 911 and said that I tried to drown my daughters. And he called the police, and they went to try to save the girls. I do know that one of the young ladies passed away. That's domestic violence. That's domestic violence. Domestic violence can be senior abuse. So there are many forms to domestic violence. So we've got child abuse, senior abuse. We've got intimate relationship abuse. And these are just some of the things that we find that are falls under the auspices of domestic violence. And so as we begin to look at that and look at what the Word of God says with reference to domestic violence in the church, I am particularly sensitive to us becoming educated in the church with reference to domestic violence because of the fact I found it that there was no escape plan, there was no route for me personally with domestic violence in the church. I found that the church body itself, that being of leaders, the deacons, were ill-equipped to assist me in that area of my life. And because of it, it left a bad taste in my mouth, if you will. But because of it, I also found it necessary to begin to try to assist people and educate those with reference to domestic violence so that the church becomes knowledgeable. Here's something, and I know that many of you who are listening, you don't even realize this, but domestic violence didn't start with the NFL. Ooh. No. Domestic violence didn't start with the NFL. Domestic violence didn't start with the things that we're hearing of now. Domestic violence didn't even start with Juanita Bynum. Domestic violence has been around for centuries. If we look in the biblical times, we see violence being portrayed on women. We see violence being portrayed on children as well. And so it's not like it's something new. But even the Bible has given an answer to it, we just have to seek out the answer. Amen. And so as we begin to look at domestic violence biblically, as we begin to look at some of the scriptures that are related to domestic violence, one of the inserts that I had said, while some husbands undoubtedly beat their wives in biblical times, as some husbands do today, it generally is believed that this was never God's plan or design from the home. And I would go so far as to say that it was never God's design for the home. Never. On the contrary, the Bible repeatedly calls on people to show kindness, generosity, and love to one another, and specifically condemns the abuse of wives and children. Here are a few scripture references related to abuse and the proper treatment that husbands in particular should extend to their wives. I do remember, and can recall a scripture, and I'm sure we'll probably get to it, where it tells the husband that he should regard the wife as the weaker vessel. He should regard her as the weaker vessel, and because she's the weaker vessel, there are some things that he needs to do to care for her. Amen. So if we look in the Garden of Eden, when God, in Genesis 3, when God made man and when God made woman, not in one time in those scriptures did he tell him to abuse her. He actually told Adam that she was now bone of your bone bone and flesh of your flesh, because she was taken out of you. She's actually a part of you. Amen. And so as we begin to look at the scriptures in Ephesians 5, verses 28 through 29, it says, so husbands are to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And that's Ephesians 5 and 28 and 29. Now here, I don't want to come across as being naive or gullible to the fact that men are not always the perpetrator. Amen. Men are not always the perpetrator. There are instances when we have women who are violent towards their husbands. For whatever the reason, this thing has to come to knowledge to know that God is not pleased. God is not pleased with domestic violence, no matter who the perpetrator. And so here he's definitely referencing this to the husbands, but we need to come to the knowledge and to the fact that God does not want a woman to beat on her husband or to mistreat him and vice versa. Okay, and so Colossians 3 and 19 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, I'm particularly going with the scripture that says, and all evil speaking, because another part of domestic violence or another arm of domestic violence has to do with verbal abuse. It has to do with verbal abuse. And, of course, I'm going to extend that arm a little bit, if you will allow me, because I want us to understand that it's not good for husbands and wives to cuss each other out, but it's not good for parents to cuss out their children. We have got to find a better way to communicate. We've got to find a better way to communicate. And so it's not good when you slinging around profanities to your children. You need to understand that your children, when they're out of your sight, they're more than likely slinging around profanities to somebody else. And so we need to learn how to guard our lips, guard our mouth. We need to learn how to be able to communicate and to be able to communicate in a more positive and in a more healthy way. One of the things that I was sharing with somebody was when my daughter was small and we used to talk and discuss things, and my niece would always come in and say, wow, you talk to her like she's an adult. And so in my learning how to talk to her like she's an adult, she has very good communication skills. And I think that that's going to be true, even said with filthy communication, that if you're doing it around your children, if you learn how to talk to them in an appropriate manner, they'll learn how to reciprocate and talk to others in a more appropriate and a more healthy way. So let's take on and put away evil speaking. Let's learn how to have healthy conversations with those who are around us. Amen. And so that scripture was Colossians 3 and 9. Now, he also says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor, be put away as well. And so harboring resentment, harboring bitterness, and then getting it to a point where we're like a pressure cooker, where we're holding all of this in, and then at the wrong moment, we explode. We explode because we didn't learn how to express our emotions. We didn't learn how to express what was going on with you. I have a four-year-old granddaughter, Faith, and she expresses how she feels very well. You know, she'll say, Grandma, you made me sad. Grandma, what you said made me sad. Or she'll ask you, Grandma, did I make you mad? She's learning how to express, because there's something about either my facial expression or something about the tone of my voice that triggers something in her to come back and ask me, are you upset? Did you get upset with me? And then we talk it out. And I think that those are good skills in training her up so that she can learn how, as she's growing older, express her feeling, express her dislike towards something, and do it in a manner whereas, first of all, she's not suppressing anger. She's not becoming a pressure cooker and exploding at the wrong time. And so we've got to learn how to express when things are going on wrong with us. We've got to learn how to communicate it. We so have to to learn how to communicate what's going on with us. This is so important. And a lot of times, in the case of men who are verbally abusive or something, I would go to venture to say that at some point they may have been told to shut up. They may have been told, listen to me, don't you talk back, and things of that nature. We have to learn how to stop telling our children not to talk back. We have to learn how to begin to tell them that it's a way to express yourself, and that way that you expressed yourself was inappropriate. Now let's find an appropriate way for you to express yourself. But to tell them to shut up, because what it does, it teaches them not to be able to verbalize what's going on in their emotions. And so we don't want to do that. God, I bless you. God, I thank you, and I bless your holy and your divine name. I think that this is good. And so these are things, especially in the African-American family, where we find ourselves telling our children, you know, shut up, don't talk back to me, or you disrespecting me, or you got something to say. And what it does is it stunts their communication. And so then when they're trying to communicate, they don't even know how to communicate because you, yeah. You done messed them up. Come on, somebody. So let's begin to reverse that. And let's begin, especially as African Americans, let's begin to teach our children how to communicate their emotions effectively and appropriately. Amen. Amen. I think that's wonderful. That's a good nugget right there. And so even if you're in a situation where that has not been the case in your home, reverse it. Start reversing it. Start asking God to forgetting those things that are behind you, to teach you how to go forward with that thing so that your children can learn how to communicate effectively. Amen. So that was Colossians 3 and 19. That's the wrong scripture. That was, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That was Ephesians 4 and 31, just in case somebody's writing the scriptures down. Now, Colossians 3 and 19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. That's the NIV version, Colossians 3 and 19. So it's saying, husband, love your wives. Now, I want us to get to our understanding where we understand that this goes well with the wives also. You know, if you're one who is the perpetrator, if you're the one who's being harsh, if you don't know how to talk to your husband, then you need to look at that and begin to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Hope Alliance, Inc. Hope Alliance, Inc., the acronym stands for Healing Opportunities Proposed for Everyone. And we are Christian-based counseling. It is not our goal. It is not our goal to separate families. Our goal is, because we understand that it's because the family has been separated that some of the detriment in our society and in our culture has been caused. We are now trying to make it so that we can keep that family unit together and just teach them some skills that are going to help them going forward. And definitely one of those skills is how to communicate healthy, healthy conversation, talking about some things. So that's what Hope Alliance is about. We do not advocate divorce. In fact, one of the things that I teach at Truth Deliverance Ministry as the pastor is divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. And, of course, we try to teach how to be healthy. We have building blocks to a stronger marriage and things of that nature. So, and I'm sitting here, and the Holy Spirit is saying that we need to definitely have for husband and wives class on good communication skills. Good communication skills. Because we often learn from what we see. And most of us didn't see communication in a healthy way. I know I didn't. And because of that, we didn't see communication in a healthy way. We tend to gravitate back to what was instilled in us or how we grew up. If you heard your mom and your daddy yelling and cussing each other out all the time and not knowing how to communicate, then that's really what you pick up. And so we have to begin there. I hear the Holy Spirit saying we need a communication class. Okay, so Colossians 3:19, for those who are writing it down, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Another scripture, 1 Peter 3rd chapter, the 7th verse says, In the same way, you husbands, must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are. There it is. But she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Now, he specifically is giving that instruction to the husband. And we need to understand and realize that because we have so many abusers or perpetrators who are in leadership positions in the church. You're a deacon. You're beating on your wife, and you trying to pray. Not. You need to get some things together because he said here in this scripture, your prayers will not be heard. You know, I am really, really praying for the household of faith in that we will come into the knowledge of some things and that pastors and leaders will begin to teach this from the pulpit, that we will stop with this the old adage that what happens in the home should stay in the home. That is a lie from the pit of hell because we understand that scripture says, he who hide cannot prosper. And so we have got to begin to open up. And one of the biggest detriments or one of the biggest fuel to domestic violence is silence. The biggest fuel to domestic violence is silence. It's not until you give it a voice that you can begin to deal with it, that things can begin to be reversed and erased. So thank you all. I'm just excited with what God is doing. So we have to learn in this particular scripture, especially those who are husbands. Now, when we detect or when you detect somebody being a perpetrator, how can I say this? When you detect somebody being a perpetrator, especially if it's somebody within the household of faith, sometimes it's just better to give them paper. This is what the Holy Ghost is saying to me, especially if it's a man. Perhaps writing this scripture down and handing it to him and saying, you know, tell me what you think about this scripture. I'm giving you this scripture. I want you to read on it. Get back to me and let me know what you think. That way, they've read the word. The Holy Spirit has a chance to germinate some things in their spirit, and then you can begin to dialogue with that person. Oh, this is good. I am loving this. You can begin to dialogue with that person. It's my prayer, because I am sure that while you've given them that scripture, you're already saturating in prayer. You've already prayed before you approach that person, and you know that the Holy Spirit says that all things work together for good to them who love God and those who are called according to your purpose. So you are thanking the Holy Spirit that he is already preparing that heart to receive change. Amen. I am loving this. So that could be a way to perhaps start some dialogue or begin to plant that seed that person needs to begin to change some things. Isn't this wonderful? I love it so much. Okay, so that's 1 Peter 3:7. And I want you to know that was a recent download. The Holy Spirit just revealed that to me, so I love him for that. Now, Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. We actually could stop right there. Who's speaking life? who's speaking life. Most of the time, the Bible, you know, talks about, especially men, saying that women are the naggers and things of that nature. So we need to begin to understand that the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. We need to begin to speak life. We need to begin to do as it states in Philippians, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. So we really got to begin to learn how to saturate ourselves and how to begin to soak ourselves in God's word so that we can begin to spew out life and not spew out negativity. Amen. Even when you have to address an issue that is sensitive. Amen. When you have to address an issue that's sensitive, getting in the Holy Spirit, asking Holy Spirit to begin to show you, Holy Spirit, how do I address this so that it's not a blow up? When do I address this so that it's not a blow up? You know, and then act accordingly, because the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof is destruction. You're going to them and saying, I need to talk of this thing, getting on my nerve. That's not how the Holy Spirit wants us to act. We've got to begin to learn when to speak and how to speak so that we're not agitating the situation and making it worse. Amen. Those are some things that we need to begin to look at. And so I'm sitting here and I'm looking at who I got on the line because I'm sensitive to that. But have you ever noticed how white people seem like they're just always so kind and just so soft and they just, you know, they know how to relate. And when you see a husband and a wife, and I'm not saying it's true in all cases because domestic violence does not know it does not know economics. It does not know your color of your skin. Domestic violence is everywhere. But have you ever noticed the majority, a lot of people that you're around who are of Caucasian persuasion, that how soft-spoken they are? Have you ever seen the woman how, you know, oh, no, not a problem, sweetie. Let me get that for you. And I'm not saying that it's not true in our case, but I am saying that we need to learn especially as a culture, because we can come off as being brash. Amen. So we have to learn how to speak soft. The Bible says a kind word, I love you, Holy Spirit, a kind word turns away wrath. A kind word. And so we've got to begin to understand and to know how to speak, you know. Have you ever heard your children's teacher or someone in authority who works with you? Use your inside voice. Use your inside voice. Because if you're getting loud and the other person is trying to speak over you, and the next thing you know, you're screaming and you're yelling, and your children, get a picture, your children's hands are over their ears because both of you screaming and yelling to the top of your voice, and who heard who? Nobody heard anybody. And we have to understand that statistics say, boys especially, who witness domestic violence in the home often becomes perpetrators. That should take us to our knees for our boys who are in homes where domestic violence is going on. That should take us to our knees or have us in a newfound place of prayer for those who, even if you've come out, I've come out of domestic violence, but it still has a residue that... it still has a residue that was left on my children. And so I'm reversing that. I'm in prayer and asking God to assist us with that endeavor. Okay, let me just get through another scripture. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so as we begin to look at particular scripture, we understand that God does not encourage domestic violence from no angle, with your children, no angle, with a senior abuse, from no angle. And so I'm just going to close with a word of prayer in 60 seconds. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the word that has gone forth, oh God. We thank you, Father, and we ask that you would help us, oh Lord God, now to give it out, oh Lord God, to utilize it in our own homes, oh Lord God. We pray it now in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh God, that the prayers of the righteous avails much, oh Lord. So we thank you for the much that is being done even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please send questions, comments, future study to, where am I on? Healing@HopeAllianceInc.com. Is that it? I don't think that's it. But that's our email address. Look us up on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook. That's our website. Look us up on Facebook. Whatever you can do, spread the word that we're on Thursdays. And we are acknowledging that domestic violence is in the church, and we got an answer to the silent cry in the pews. Thank you, and until next week, may God's greatest and best be yours. Bye now.